the shot. He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to Morning Tide on the Sharks Audio Network. Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Smith goes to Celebrini. He moves down the right side, cross the line, lead pass Ferraro, in front, Toffoli, shoots, score! A spectacular goal by Tyler Toffoli. The San Jose Sharks have tied the game 2-2 with 11-12 to go in the second.
I think our focus has been the first period. Those games we didn't get off to good starts, and I thought our start today was okay, but we kind of turned it on. And same with Anaheim, it was okay. I don't think it was great, but you know, we didn't wait till the second period to get going when it was too late. You know, we kind of found a way within that first period to get it together. So our starts are really important, I think, for our group, and just having some more confidence throughout the game, and to put, you know, other teams in. Put other teams on their heels rather than, you know, letting them decide the pace early on. So if we can continue to do that, I think it'll benefit us moving forward for the next seven games here.
All right. Good morning, everyone. How are we all doing? It is a Friday in early spring, and the San Jose Sharks, after having two back-to-back poor performances against New York and LA, are back playing much more in line with the style of hockey that we've expected from them throughout the entirety of the season. Last night was not a perfect game for the San Jose Sharks in any way, shape, or form, but it was a very, very good effort. And even without Connor McDavid, the Edmonton Oilers are still a very, very good hockey team, and I don't think there's any shame in losing to them by a final of 3-2. All throughout the games, the Sharks were coming up with what I felt were good reactions. Early in the game, they go down 1-0, and then a couple of minutes later, they do get the equalizer from Jack Thompson. Another goal for Jack Thompson, his fourth of the year. You love to see the young players getting their opportunities, but that was just a nice performance from San Jose. Then second period again, they go down 2-1. Victor Arvidsson makes the Edmonton lead. Toffoli gets his 28th of the year to make it 2-2. And then eventually you do get the go-ahead there in the second period from Jeff Skinner. The Sharks couldn't find the answer. It was unfortunate because I did think that, you know, the Sharks were fighting their way throughout the entirety of the game. You know, Georgi Romanov had a very good start. I thought he was high quality. I really, really liked what I saw just across the board from the team. Again, it shows that those two games where they had the bad performances were a little bit of a blip. And I think that, yes, there's still a team where they can be those blips in the radar, and maybe, you know, we've seen some games this year where they've given up 8, where they've given up 7. You know, maybe next year they don't have the blowouts that are that bad, as I still expect them to take a big step forward next year. And I know that the standings don't show it this year per se, but I do think they've taken a big step forward. But I do think that, you know, if you can cut these games out of the woodwork, like this year, I don't think they've given up 9 or 10 like they did last year. So that's an improvement. This year, you don't want to give up 10 or 9 goals. Okay, they did that. And they've also had many fewer blowouts overall. So that's a step in the right direction. Next year, hopefully, they're not giving up more than 5, 6, 7, and they're able to take that big step forward. So that is what I'm looking for from San Jose next year, in addition to overall having many, many more wins. I don't think that's going to be out of the picture or out of the realm of possibilities. Again, my hope next year is that they are in the conversation of a wild card spot when we get to the deadline. Whether or not that happens, I can't say. You know, there's a lot of development. There's a lot of direction. There's a lot of change that could happen with this Sharks team in the offseason. They do have to spend to get to the floor. Obviously, they were able to add a great veteran in Tyler Toffoli this year, who's on pace for, you know, a 30-goal season, maybe a couple more. So again, you know that teams are going to be looking at San Jose as a potential, you know, landing spot. And also, the Sharks have to spend money one way or another. So, you know, we'll see where they are when we get back for training camp. But, you know, right now, watching Cam Lund play, watching Zach Ostapchuk, watching Colin Graf, watching Will Smith, watching Macklin Celebrini, getting more of a look at Georgi Romanov as well. You know, Jack Thompson, he getting opportunities, seeing Henry Thrun back in the lineup. These are the things that the Sharks can maximize out of this year. And continuing the good vibes they've had all year, I think they've not let the hard times get them down, but they need to continue this trend of maximizing this season before it comes to an end. And I know that that's not a headline or a storyline that is as sexy as other things like making the playoffs or making big moves and acquisitions. But you have to be able to figure out what you're going to do with this season to make sure that it is not a loss when all is said and done. Now, obviously, you end up with the number one or two overall pick, you're going to feel pretty good about things. But at the same time, you know, getting a better idea of what your young players are and what they have to work on. I think that's a big part of the narrative as well. And then also see your veterans, you know, develop more of their leadership, develop more of their overall game. I mean, I know the guys like Mario Ferraro and Alex Wenberg are not the youngest guys in the world, but, you know, Alex Wenberg, in my opinion, is still a guy that is continuing to show what he can do in his game. You know, he's 30 years old now. He's still playing what I feel is great hockey, and he's developing his leadership role. Mario Ferraro, you know, he's a little bit younger, but I don't think there's anything about his game that is going to be, you know, taking a huge step in terms of, like, points per game. But, you know, he becomes more effective. He becomes smarter. He becomes a better defender. He's still, you know, in his prime, 26, 27 years old. So I look at what these guys are. I look at what they can continue developing towards. And I think that overall, you're very, very pleased with what you're seeing. And even watching the consistent production of Tyler Toffoli and seeing him having fun out there with 28 goals this year, 21 assists, he knows how to get it done. He knows how to score. He knows how to situate himself correctly. So watching these guys all have success as veterans and watching the young guys have success as well as they are developing. I mean, you look at a Jack Thompson last night. You look at a Macklin Celebrini. You look at a, you know, Tim Liljegren, who again is not the youngest guy in the world, but he's only 25. So watching his, you know, contributions continue through the year, which has been up and down, I think it's good to see, you know, watching William Eklund still playing like a star player every night. Zach Ostapchuk, again, I really like what we've seen from him so far. And even a guy, you know, like a Patrick Giles, who's out there, you know, we've loved what we've seen from him, his size, his speed, and then Colin Graf and Cam Lund and Will Smith. I mean, you go down the list and you see players that consistently have a future with the San Jose Sharks. And right now you're watching the guys who are at the tip of the spear. Unfortunately, we didn't get to see, you know, Giles last night. We didn't get to see a Shakir Mukhmudulin who's injured right now. We don't know if he's going to return this year. We have been able to get a look at, you know, Luca Cagnoni recently, but, you know, you want to get your looks at all these young players, and hopefully many more of them will be up with the squad next year. But, you know, with the guys we have seen lately with your Ostapchuk since his acquisition, and then, you know, lately Cam Lund, I've liked what those guys have brought to the table. Colin Graf, you know, I've been a big fan of his since he came to the Sharks a year ago, and watching his development with the Barracuda this year and watching him come into the NHL and not really miss a beat and just get better and better with each passing game, it seems. I mean, these guys, you can really track his development and watch how comfortable he's been and watch his just overall use of his physicality and the fact that he is still growing into his body and how smart he is out there on the ice and the fact that the coaching staff trusts him. These are the things that you wanted to see this year. And you know, next year we're going to get even more young players, and then the year after that there's going to be more guys being brought into the fold as you have more and more veterans coming through. And, you know, again, it's a term I've been using is getting the wheel turning, akin to what other franchises that have been really good with their development, is that you want to be able to bring these young prospects into a good landing spot. And I think that's one of the things that you do feel really good about with Macklin Celebrini and Will Smith and Colin Graf and Shakir Mukhmudulin and Yaroslav Askarov, is that these guys this year, I wouldn't say they've been put in a bad spot, because they are hyper-talented and they are, you know, playing at the NHL level for a reason, but it's not exactly been a soft landing. When the Sharks of a generation ago were implementing a Logan Couture and a Joe Pavelski and a Tomas Hertl and a Timo Meier, that was a soft landing. They were immediately entering a team that had established veterans around them and that would allow them to facilitate their growth and be put in a position of maximum success. Now, where the Sharks are right now, when these guys get in there, it's not for a maximum level of success, but they're still producing. And I think that's the thing that everyone should take note of, is that these guys are coming in, they're producing, they're being able to be effective, they're getting goals, they're getting points, they're playing at a very, very high level. And I think that speaks to where they will be in a couple of years when these guys all develop together, when they're all ready to take the next step as a franchise. And for me, the next step obviously is getting into that conversation of a wild card a year from now. That's my hope. I don't know that I would necessarily, you know, invest in that, but I still think that's my hope for next year. I would love to see them take that step. But right now, you've been watching these young players, these very, very high-level talents, be put in a not great situation, not a soft landing. You're still seeing them excel. Colin Graf, Will Smith, Macklin Celebrini, Shakir Mukhmudulin, Yaroslav Askarov, these top-level talents, Cam Lund, you've loved what you've seen from them. You know, I can't say that there's many of the young guys this year that have come up that I've said, oh yeah, that guy does not have a future. No, you've liked everything you've seen. Some guys have gotten greater opportunities. Some guys have gotten, you know, longer stints. Even we saw Ethan Cardwell earlier this year. You liked that. You know, even when you got to see, you know, Luca Cagnoni for short-term status, you liked what you saw there. There's no one who's come up where you've said to yourself, oof, I don't know if they can play. And I think that's where you want to be right now with San Jose. You want to see potential. It doesn't mean just because there's potential that the guys are up forever. Obviously, the Barracudas still have a season to play with a little bit more meaning than what the Sharks are doing right now. So you need to see these guys overall developing, and I think that's exactly what you've brought to the table. And the fact that they continue to play hard against a team like Edmonton, obviously they had a chance to win the Stanley Cup last year. They were in Game 7 against a really, really good Florida team, obviously. You know, so last night's game, I think that even though they didn't have McDavid out there for Edmonton, that's still a very, very good team that is battle-tested, that is getting ready and gearing up for what they believe is going to be another deep run. And you still have some of the best players in the world out there on the ice. And the Sharks played them tough. When they got down, they responded. And they didn't have that third response to tie it at 3, but overall, I thought that their, you know, game was pretty good. I thought that you saw nice performances from Mario Ferraro, who shows that, you know, his leadership is a do as I do and as I say. It's not just, you know, a rah-rah guy and keep things light. He was playing really good out there on the ice for the Sharks last night. Got a lot of touches. The puck was finding him. That doesn't happen by accident. Alex Wennberg, again, who has stepped up into this leadership role since the trade deadline. He is playing at a very high level. Macklin Celebrini gets another point. You love to see that. You're watching Jack Thompson make the most of his opportunities as he gets back into the lineup. You love to see that. You know, even Georgi Romanov, he hasn't seen too many starts this year, and he gets a game last night in which he's going up against some very high-level competition. He makes big saves all night long. You know, I didn't look at those goals and think, oh, that's on Romanov. I thought, okay, he gets beat, especially another power play in there. You know, that's how it's going to go against these really top-level teams. And again, it's not a game that you really love when all is said and done that you lose, but you love the effort. And I think that was what was lacking in those two games. Not that it was a bad effort per se. I think the Sharks were definitely at a talent disparity against the Rangers and the Kings. But when the talent disparity is put together with an effort that isn't maximum, you can get results like that, especially when it's on the second night of a back-to-back. Sharks in these last couple of games, the effort has been much more, you know, up to par with what they expect from themselves. I've never seen games this year where I feel like the Sharks are going out there and quitting. I think sometimes they're getting beat up. I think sometimes they're getting tired. I think sometimes, you know, the pressure of the world and the season is on their shoulders and you can see it. But I always think they're trying. I'm not one of those guys who thinks that, you know, they're mailing it in or something like that. I know people do have those beliefs from time to time, but I'm not one of them. But, you know, those two games against the Rangers in LA, it was clear. They were not at their best. And they were punished for it. But now you look at what they've been able to do and it seems like, okay, that was a blip. That's not the norm. It happened and it seems like they've gotten it out of their game. And hopefully it stays that way from now till the end of the season. So right now, San Jose, they've got 7 games left. The last 2 games have been very effort-filled. I'd like a couple more wins before the end of the year. I'd like them to get, you know, more than 21 to have their highest total for a couple of seasons. I don't know if they'll get there, you know, to 22, but it would be nice. But for right now, the San Jose Sharks, in terms of what I would like to see from them, I think I'm seeing it. Young guys getting opportunity, young guys making the most of that opportunity, veterans stepping up, and quality efforts. You know, in a team like this, in a year like this, if you're expecting a lot of wins, I don't know how happy you're going to be, but from what I'm expecting right now as we're in the month of April, that was what I wanted to see from the Sharks last night, and that's what we got. All right, let's get into some of those highlights from last night's game before we get to some post-game sound and hear from Sheng Peng as well. It was Connor Brown who gave Edmonton a lead, 6:22 into the first.
Now here's Jeff Skinner, back for Connor Brown, splits through the defense, gets by Carlson, breakaway shoots, score! Connor Brown getting that puck, and the seas parted for him right in the middle of the ice. He got by Lucas Carlson, and then there was nobody between him and Romanov, and he digged just a little bit and put it up top on the glove side, and it's 1-0 Oilers.
Didn't love that, but the San Jose Sharks responded less than 2 minutes later. Jack Thompson getting his 4th goal of the year, assisted by Alex Wennberg and Mario Ferraro.
Graf spins on the left circle, drops it off for Eklund, sends it off the boards back to Ferraro. Cross ice, Thompson, the shot, and Putt Colson got a piece of that with a stick and knocked it wide. Held in by Ferraro, threw it toward the net. Here's Thompson shoots, and he scores! A centering feed, Wennberg to Thompson. He had crept in from the point position and was at the right circle and put that top corner. What a great play by Jack Thompson, who's off to a rousing start tonight, and the Sharks have tied the game 1-1.
Great response from the Sharks. They head into the first period tied at one. Early second period, Victor Arvidsson off the power play, assisted by Leon Draisaitl, and Evan Bouchard makes it a 2-1 lead for the Oilers.
Let's see what they do. Colin Graf in the box, off the draw. Draisaitl gets it back. Nugent Hopkins flips Bouchard. Now to Draisaitl to the slot, and they score! Arvidsson, tic-tac-toe. Bouchard, Draisaitl, Arvidsson finishing it off. It is 2-1 Edmonton, a power play goal as quickly as that.
So the Oilers take the lead, but once again, the San Jose Sharks able to find an answer. About 5 minutes later, Tyler Toffoli with his 28th goal of the year, assisted by Mario Ferraro and Macklin Celebrini.
Smith goes to Celebrini. He moves down the right side, cross the line, lead pass Ferraro, in front, Toffoli shoots, score! A spectacular goal by Tyler Toffoli. The San Jose Sharks have tied the game 2-2 with 11:12 to go in the second.
The battle continued from San Jose, but with just under 5 minutes remaining in the second, Jeff Skinner would put Edmonton ahead for good.
But Edmonton's going to keep it in. Bouchard sends it toward the net. Score! That was tipped in front on its way in. And I think that Skinner might have tipped it, but maybe somebody else out there might have been Janmark, too. They were both out in front of the net. A face-off win for Edmonton gives them a 3-2 lead, and that was a strange-looking goal. I think it's going to be Skinner right in front of the net.
The Sharks would continue to battle, but they would never find that equalizer, falling by a final of 3-2. Let's hear from head coach Ryan Warsawski.
I think it's a great opportunity for them, and hopefully they get good experience from it so they come back next year and they understand what the process is and how this game is played, and it's a lot of small details that win and lose your hockey games in this league. So that's what I hope to take from it, the pace of it, obviously. And I think it's good exposure, good experience for them.
That was his answer after being asked about whether or not the young players bring an energizing aspect to the squad. And yeah, I think for the young guys, they like seeing these younger players come up and getting their opportunities, and you can try and mold them into the culture of what you're trying to build here in San Jose. If you're a Mario Ferraro, if you're an Alex Wenberg, if you're a Tyler Toffoli, who have bought in hardcore to what they're trying to do here in San Jose. I think that's a big part of what is going on, and you want to show these young players from day one, this is how we do it in San Jose. These are the expectations, and this is how we're going to move forward. And, you know, Ryan Warsawski, he's obviously looking at these guys knowing that there's going to be some relative inexperience and there are going to be bumps in the road. But, you know, they have to learn it at some point, and right now is the time to do the learning. Veteran leaders having good nights was a big part of the narrative. Obviously, Tyler Toffoli with a goal, Mario Ferraro with 2 points, and Alex Wenberg with a point. Here's Ferraro on Wenberg and the season he's been having.
Yeah, when he creates a lot of space for himself. He's got a lot of poise with the puck, and, he draws some coverage, and then guys open up for him, and he makes those plays. So he's shown his offensive abilities, and he's had some defensive roles too, and has played pretty responsibly. So, he's been a big part of this team. He's a good leader for these young guys too. So, it's nice to see him having a pretty good season.
And I would expect Wenberg to be better with the Sharks in year number two than he was in year number one. I mean, that's the hope, is that guys figure out the coaching staff figures out the player, they grow within the system, their players and them have greater chemistry, and we get to see more and more of their game in the following seasons. And honestly, Alex Wenberg, I knew he was a quality player, but I didn't know the details of his game to this extent, and I've really liked what he's been here in San Jose, so it's been fun to watch his development. As promised, I did speak with Sheng Peng of San Jose Hockey Now and NBC Sports California yesterday. We were talking about many things surrounding Team Teal. You can hear more of that interview on yesterday's edition of The Build-Up. Here's what you may not have heard yesterday as we were talking about Sharks young players, and I asked if the rapid development of one Colin Graf made them feel more comfortable trading Fabian Zetterlund.
Oh, that's a good question. I haven't thought of it that way. It is possible. I would say, though, that the Sharks, they have so many holes. You just need good players, right?
Yeah.
I don't see Colin as replacing a Fabian Zetterlund. The way I see that trade more is, and you heard rumors, Darren Dreger reported that the Sharks were also interested in Josh Norris from the Senators. And so it makes me think, Ali, this is just my speculation, my theory, that that I don't know if the Sharks necessarily saw Fabian as a core piece of the team, that maybe he was more of a bridge guy, a good bridge guy, and a great guy, obviously, in the room. And his game grew a lot with the Sharks too. But I don't know if they saw him as a guy that, okay, when we are a playoff team again, this guy is going to be a a everyday player in the lineup. I'm not sure if they saw it that way because from what I understand, his contract ask wasn't outlandish. He wasn't asking for 7 years or 6 years or whatever. He wasn't asking for $7 million a year. He was an arbitration guy. And Mike Greer has mentioned that when we talked with him in a deadline, that wasn't a contract thing. I believe Mike in this case. And he was an arbitration guy, so they were going to come to agreement somehow. Arbitration would have forced it. And so I think ultimately, the Sharks just made a choice of, okay, the Senators weren't going to trade Josh Norris, but if there's another guy we like here, no stop Chuck. And clearly the Senators like Zetterlund a lot. The report was that they had been asking about him all season. And so Mike took a chance to get good value for a player that he likes, but maybe doesn't like as much as he's going to like Ostapchuk if Ostapchuk hits his prime, or Josh Norris if he had been able to land Norris.
What do you think about this upcoming offseason? Because the one thing I thought about after the 6-1 and 8-1 losses is that it's not good for anyone. Not that losing isn't part of a rebuild, but to me, it's kind of at the end of running its course, which I think is, Ryan Warsopsky talked about it, how they need to finish strong. And I don't think anybody wants to see a repeat of last year. Those final couple of games against Edmonton and Calgary were pretty ugly, but it's not good for the team's image. It's not good for the players on the team. I mean, are these things that Mike Greer is taking into consideration, knowing that he has to spend, $20 million just to get to the floor?
I'm sure he is, and I think that's going to be the big question for Mike here. That he has done a great job, in terms of when he stepped in summer 2022. This was probably the worst GM job in the league. I think almost unanimously. I'm not sure, but I think it was a very, very difficult job. He had a lot of long bad contracts, veteran players that were still good, but they weren't winning with these veteran players, and he has done a great job of breaking it apart and adding assets, and obviously had some lottery luck too with getting Macklin. But I give Mike a lot of credit for that. But in terms of if you look at the rebuild, all the steps of a rebuild, and the obviously the last step of the rebuild is the one where you win the Stanley Cup. And so we look at the rebuild in a big picture. Probably the easiest part is to break things up, and to get pieces for it. And that's on the easier side. It wasn't easy. I'm not saying it was easy, but it's on the easier side of things. So I think the challenging part that we haven't seen Mike do yet is just the team building and winning a building. I'm sorry, building a winning team, designing a winning team. I do think that this year's team design made a lot more sense than last year's, so that's promising, even though the results haven't been there this year. But of course, the results have to be there, obviously, at some point. Mike's not going to be able to rebuild forever here. So that's a long answer to a short question. But so this summer, I think, is going to be important for that because you can't just keep aiming for the number one pick forever.
No.
And so, yeah. He took some steps toward that last offseason in terms of signing Tyler Toffoli, signing Barkley Gaudreau, even this trade deadline, adding a guy like Desharnais, who is 1 year left, but he's a guy that's going to be able to help you next year. So those are some of the steps that he's taken, but definitely got to take a lot more. Obviously, the defense is kind of the red alert spot that needs a lot of help, especially since you did trade Wallman for a first round pick and you did trade CC too. So definitely a lot of work to do. But again, it's not just about adding the biggest names or the guys with the best stats, the most points, right? It's about team building and getting guys in that want to be here that are going to be good examples for the rest of the young guys. And so a lot of fit. So I think, team building's a little bit more subtle than maybe fans give credit for, or a look or I guess emphasize. And so yeah, so very curious what he does this offseason.
I guess that brings up this question. Say the Sharks get the number one overall because of their necessity at D, Does that mean they go with a Schaefer, who obviously has seen his, you know, draft status shaken a bit due to the injury? Or does the evolution of Misa make him that much more intriguing, especially not knowing what Will Smith, I know they want him to be a center, but it does give them a little bit of a backup plan per se.
Well, I personally am best player available. So if they think somehow that Misa has defined himself as the consensus number one, then pick your guy. But I will say though that if all things were equal, and if you look at the Sharks and their future depth chart, and you see Celebrini and Smith down the middle, and maybe Ostapchuk, maybe Bisted, you feel pretty decent about that, and you can also sign and add guys up the middle. That they really need a defenseman, and so
yeah.
So if all things are equal, if they are able to draft Schaefer, I think he would become their top defensive prospect. And they already have a pretty good one in Dickinson,
right?
And I will add to that, yeah, that Schaefer is a guy that the more I hear, I think that he is an excellent prospect, and he may not be a sort of a clear-cut number one guy in the NHL. At least it's not unanimous that people think he's going to be that. He's not like a Rasmus Dahlin type. So I guess you put that into consideration there that, okay, that if you do really like a Misa, oh, then maybe you go with a guy like that or any other guys, Martone or, yeah. Or Higgins, but Sharks really need defense.
Yes.
And so I think it'd be hard to pass up. If you get the number one pick, I think it'd be hard to pass up right now, at least, Matthew Schaefer.
No, it'll be interesting to see how they do play it. And then just looking at the roster for next year as a final one for you, Shang, I mean, who do you expect to be here? I wouldn't be surprised if Graf continues with the Sharks. I think Cam Lund will probably get the Colin Graf treatment where he starts out with the Barracuda, and if he plays his way up, he'll be part of it. But what do you think about this squad for next year?
Let's see. Well, I think there's the obvious guys who will be here. Toffoli, Ferraro is going to be here.
Yeah.
Even the less obvious guys like Desharnais, right? He's signed, but he's a veteran guy that's
played. I guess it'd just be more of the younger, the prospects, the guys who have.
Right. So I think that one of the interesting battles is what's going to happen, you know, Ostapchuk, or maybe Giles, right? That could be a good competition for 4C. They might need to sign another centerman to kind of fill that sort of Celebrini, Wenberg, 3C, or maybe Smith will fill that. We'll have to see that part of it, right? I think with the young defense, I think Malcolm Adulin has definitely is in sort of a pole position that he should be on the team next year. I'm pretty sure he's out of options too. And so, yeah. So I don't think that's a guy that you want to try to, you know, pass through waivers. So he seems pretty secure. I think a guy like, so Henry Thrun is going to be a good question mark because I think that Henry has shown some good signs, but I don't think he's done enough that for sure that he is part of the Sharks' defense of the future. I think Lodgergren's an interesting one. Lodgergren's not considered, he's not thought of as like a young guy, but he's only just 25. And he signed for one more year for a pretty good ticket, $3 million. And so has he been that good for the Sharks? He's been up and down. So I don't think he's been that good, quite that good for the Sharks. And so he's a guy that has some runway though. And so he's, you know, gotta take a step here, I think, if he wants to be part of the Sharks of the future. So I think that's what I'm interested in. I know a lot of fans love Luca Cagnoni. And but I think that that's a bit much to ask of him to give him an NHL job. I don't think that's good for, especially for defensemen. You want to kind of, I like doing a slow burn with defensemen. I like how the Sharks handle Malcolm Adulin, for example.
Yeah.
In general, and not forcing him into the lineup. Last year, he was good enough last year. He was definitely talented enough for the Sharks top six last year and was probably good enough in the Sharks top six, but he would have been under siege all night. It would have been really, really tough for him last year, especially as a defenseman. And so I like kind of slow cooking, especially defensemen. And so I would not expect Cagnoni, unless he makes a huge leap this summer, to break camp with the Sharks necessarily. But yeah, those are some of the guys that jumped in mind. You know, Jack Thompson's a question mark too, but I don't think that Jack has defined his place in the NHL yet too.
Great stuff with Shang Peng. We're out of time. I'll see you Saturday as we get ready for the Kraken. 7 o'clock, 6:30 pregame. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yen.